You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is BPM, Connecting Enterprises. Our guest for today's show is Gene Baker. Gene is the Vice President of Technology for Sterling Commerce, Inc., a subsidiary of SBC Communications and a global provider of business integration solutions. Gene is a frequent guest speaker at conferences hosted by Yankee, Gartner, EBSQ, Delphi, Brainstorm, and others on the topics of e-business integration, software reliability, and business process management. She is chairman of the International Nonprofit Business Process Management Initiative, which is also known as BPMI.org. Her article, Building an Incremental Enterprise That Works, appeared in the June 2004 issue of Supply and Demand Chain Executive. Her other published articles include Business Process Management Language, Automating Business Relationships, which appeared in the November 2002 issue of EAI Journal, and with co-authors Peter Finger and Howard Smith, Integrated Value Chain, in the July 2002 issue of Internet World Magazine. Good morning, Gene. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready for the Christmas?
Getting there. I'm sadly one of those last-minute shoppers that you always hear about, so I need to use more planning in my private life in addition to my public life.
Here you go, talking about life balance, right? All right, yeah. So talking about BPM, you know, we, of course, have heard a lot about BPM, and we've also spoken in our past shows about it. All along, whenever we talk, companies say, yes, we are involved in BPM. That means they are talking about themselves. And to some extent, it implies that they are trying to do things internally versus actually reaching out to their other fellow value chain neighbors and other players. Now, we can do that all. You know, we have been doing that in some form or fashion before even BPM as a discipline evolved. Companies have been doing it, but the fact remains that till the time you do not talk to your neighbors and they do not work well with you, you do not get the true benefit of this, effort. So what has been your observation and what have you seen in terms of change in mindset of the businesses out there in terms of adopting BPM and not only doing it internally but also looking outside and next door?
Yes, I agree with you. There's been a lot of introspection in companies. I think that when cost savings is the focus, then there has been a big move to look within the four walls of your enterprise and start working on efficiencies there. However, it's really when business process management becomes business process collaboration that you can actually see the most tremendous cost savings and, better than that, opportunities for revenue growth. So the movement that I'm seeing is actually from looking at outdated historical and internal information to predict what customers want, and instead moving to placing technology and process in place so that you can see in more near real time what customers want, and then also moving those processes back to suppliers and then moving beyond your next door neighbor to your customer's customer, your supplier's supplier.
Now, would you say that technology is the underlying backbone for you to be able to achieve this? Because ideally, when there was no business process management-related technology, still this could have been achieved. Yes, it would be slower, but this becomes more like a business re-engineering issue, if you agree with me there.
Yes, I think that technology, when companies rely solely on technology, then they aren't setting themselves up to succeed. Then, in fact, some of the greatest obstacles are the ones that are associated with the human dynamic of building trust relationships one partner at a time. So I think that what technology provides you is this what's often referred to as business agility, but it's the way that you can cope with change and keep some permanence to the way that you're running your processes, the way that you're interacting with your partners. If you have the right technology in place, then you can interchange, for example, maybe a manual process one day with an automated process the next day without having to rewrite your entire larger interaction with partners. So technology is definitely important to be able to cope with the dynamic and heterogeneous world we're dealing with, but instead of it being the sole focus, it is in fact simply an enabler.
If somebody were to be given a brain dump in that regard, starting from a person who, say, doesn't know anything about this, would you say that first go ahead and try to reevaluate your business processes and see how you talk to your neighbors, and then let's talk BPM?
Yes, I think that you definitely should make sure that you've eliminated the stovepipes within your organization, because it certainly is nearly impossible to collaborate with others if you have internally fiefdoms who aren't collaborating together. So definitely you want to do that. You want to pick a pilot that is right-sized, so neither too big where the risk of failure is too great, nor too small that even if it succeeds, everyone says, who cares? Right-size it, make sure that it is geared for success, and then learn from those mistakes. And it really is the notion of incrementally shaking hands, human to human, with all of your partners. I can give you an example. I believe Heineken sells beer in more than 170 companies. When they decided to move to real-time forecast collaboration, they started with just a handful of their distributors and then built those personal relationships and incrementally moved that project out. By the time their pilot had reached 450 distributors, they were able to shrink their order fulfillment time from 3 months to 8 days and reduce their inventory by 62%, so increasing their profits. They basically created satisfied customers, one distributor at a time, and moved that success out further and further as they went.
Now, one other question was that this, I would like to take an example of Dell, right? It was like,
sure,
created a disruptive technology, and to some extent they, of course, did this business process management their own way, and that's why they got a quantum leap. Another thing which also comes to mind is the level of insight that you give within your company to your outside players. One is that you keep them at a surface and you interact well with them. That's one thing. Another thing is that literally invite them in terms of even their information systems to be getting to get an insight into your system so that they are proactively working on it versus you trying to trigger, hey, now I want you to see this.
I agree with you completely. No matter how big you are, you cannot dictate everything that goes on behind the four walls of your partners, and so you need to stop trying. You need to make sure that you have collaboration processes and technology from your edge to your partner's edge that understands the differences that happen behind your four walls and theirs and makes sense of that so that you have that common ground that you can collaborate on. So, yeah, Dell's got 85% of its suppliers integrated in real time over the Internet and has, you know, obviously is a master of that supply chain. They've reduced their inventory shelf life to 7 hours, decreased their order processing paperwork by 90%. As I recall, they've got a 99% order accuracy and a 0.1% inventory obsolescence. They really know how to work that process. And both Walmart and Dell are a couple of supply chain masters that actually pay. They receive their revenue 30 days before they have to pay their suppliers, so they know how to do that right.
Now, when something like this has been done and tried and tested and proven, and I guess a bunch of people have written case studies and discussed case studies about Dell and Walmart, what stops other companies to be able to just go and mimic them? Not, of course, 100%, but at least pick up the best things and just go and apply that.
Yeah, there is a cultural barrier in building trust relationships that has to be overcome. So people need to understand that not only do they need to figure out what information is proprietary and what information can and should be shared, but they need to understand that as human beings, all their partners are facing those fears as well. So they need to actually do the due diligence of working with each individual partner, earning their trust, talking through their hopes and fears, and building relationships the old-fashioned way. Another example I've got, I think of that, Herman Miller, decided that they would start an initiative that they called SQA, which stood for Simple, Quick, and Affordable. The idea was that there were many small customers who were extremely price-sensitive, and Herman Miller got the idea that perhaps they'd be willing to trade away a fine grain of flexibility in customizing furniture for the simplicity of lower-priced, fewer decisions, et cetera. But these are small partners, so they had to go out and get to know them and meet with them as people and work that human factor. So one handshake at a time, they revel revolutionized the way they do collaborative business and the way that office furniture actually gets sold today. They decreased their order fulfillment time by 6 weeks, and their sales cycle from the time they first contacted a customer to the time an order came in used to be 3 months, and now it's only a few days. So it really is possible. Why aren't more people doing it? Well, articulating your business processes is at first labor-intensive, and you have to be willing to make that effort. Building an agile infrastructure is also very labor-intensive, requires a focused effort, and you may feel that you're spending a lot of costs up front, but when your environment changes, when you conduct mergers and acquisitions, when your competitors change what they're doing, when your customers change what they want, you'll find that all that investment that you made in infrastructure really pays off in the end.
So, like, you brought up a very interesting point that, you know, at the end of the day, something like Walmart and Dell's methodology or the way they have been able to successfully master this art of supply chain could not be done or could not be mimicked by other companies because people and the culture is becoming an issue. So what allows us to believe or maybe even convincingly say that something like BPM could also fly unless otherwise these guys, because it's the same mindset issue even then. No matter what framework that we bring to the table, it'll still not happen.
Yeah, I think processes are going to help, and process standards have certainly improved recently, so we can take advantage of that. And I also think that unilaterally taking the courageous step and starting to share information yourself without the other person joining in is a really good first step forward.
We'll need to take a quick break. Listeners, we'll be right back after these messages, and we will talk a little bit about BPM being, say, at least it's perceived to be for wealthy organizations, companies who can spend millions of dollars into taking on this initiative versus people who are trying to, basically more small to mid-sized companies. So how can they ever leverage something like this, which will actually become the catalyst for them to grow? So please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back, and we'll discuss this more.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
What stock should I buy? When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra, broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Every organization has two complementary yet competing organizing structures, the hierarchy or org chart, and the network, the web of informal but trusted relationships. You can see and measure the org chart, but how do you measure and assess the network? On Mining Your Networks with Dr. Karen Stevenson, you'll learn how to measure your network, improve it, and find new ways to take it to the next level. Get the good, the bad, and the ugly on today's networks. Listen to Minding Your Networks with Dr. Karen Stevenson every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you tired of sitting on the bench? Are you ready to get in the game? Then join David Hayes and Jim Inman every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern for The Coach, exclusively on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. The Coach is a program by financial professionals for financial professionals. Know the techniques used on the field by top financial professionals for personal and professional success. Get off the bench and join the coach every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, live on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Learner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is BPM, Connecting Enterprises, and our guest for today's show is Gene Baker. Gene is the Vice President Technology for Sterling Commerce, Inc., a subsidiary of SBC Communications and a global provider of business integration solutions. Before the break, we started discussing the wealthy organizations having a prerogative of using BPM or any such business process improvement initiatives because that might cost a little more money. However, we also see that small to mid-sized businesses might, in terms of the incremental benefit that they get out of this, would be way more than what the larger companies get. I mean, it could be a wrong assumption, but at the same time, still there is a lot to benefit from such initiatives. However, we see that whenever somebody talks about this BPM, they say, oh, we invest $500 million or $600 million in there. We got to come down and scale it down so that smaller companies can also benefit from this. So what? How do you think we can do this, Gene?
I think that there are some kinds of global initiatives that, because they are being tested through the large early adopters and being streamlined, can provide an inroad for smaller companies to participate. I'm thinking about perhaps RosettaNet, and certainly there's an initiative called UCCNet, the Uniform Code Council Open Standards Body, is running this item synchronization global network that has a single truth about particular items. So publishers or manufacturers of inventory products subscribe to UCCNet and publish information about their inventory. Retailers of all sizes subscribe to UCCNet and get information from those manufacturers. Now, the way the world stands today, the same item can be described through thousands of partner relationships in thousands of incompatible ways. Maybe the marketing people want to say that a bottle is 8 ounces, but the engineering folks know that it's 8.123 ounces. So UCCNet is attempting to have a standard truth for all sorts of information about items. How can the little guys benefit? Well, they can actually keep track of inventory better by using UCCNet, understand and eliminate product errors more efficiently, and the on-ramp is cheaper because the processes are pretty baked. You simply belong to the initiative, use its standard processes, and you get the benefit of collaboration.
So let's look at the logistics of carrying out this BPM and actually implementing it. Whenever we talk about two companies coming together, there's always a fear, or rather, it's very well proven that they would not have the same IT architecture and they would not be singing the same song. So you have to create those fat interfaces. Now comes along the web services, which is very cool, and it does definitely do the job, but we've also seen that sometimes even that doesn't cut it. We do not get web services to do everything that we would like to do. So how do we deal with this?
Yeah, people do get hung up on web services as a way of providing standardization in what's called a heterogeneous environment, but it's important to keep in mind that web services is just a technology standard, and technology is not the answer to everything. So it is, one, important to recognize that heterogeneity is good, that, in fact, you know, the fact that what's happening within your four walls is different than what's happening in your partner's four walls is not only okay, but it's the way things should be. So you need open standards between the two of you that are maybe at a higher level than web services that actually define the business truth of the interactions that you're performing. So, for example, there's RosettaNet in the high technology supplier industry that defines these PIPs or processes that happen between companies in a way that's standardized and in a way that in operating it savings can come about. I know we're talking about little guys, but I'll give you a big guy example. Intel has, I think, more than 90 of its partners connected through RosettaNet, and Intel conducts more than $3 billion of business with its customers and $2 billion of business with its suppliers all over RosettaNet. That switch from Intel's perspective to RosettaNet decreased their inventory turnaround from weeks to an average of 15 minutes for their parts and saved them, you know, millions of dollars. So those Intel is, of course, benefiting and benefiting on a large scale, but those suppliers and customers within Intel's extended chain are also benefiting in ways proportional to their business as well, because these standards are repeatable, reliable, and scalable. And the handshake then between the two organizations is conducted in a way that is an open standard, so it is not subject to redefinition by a powerful player. It's reliable and permanent in that sense, and it can cope with the differences in technologies and in implementations inside a partner and still manage to translate those out to the other partner. So you hear a lot about business agility. It's agility that really is the key to cope with that dynamic and heterogeneous environment. If you've got a technology investment that can translate the world that you live in into a format that makes sense to you, then you're well on the road to benefiting from this kind of collaboration.
Tell me this, though. When people look at, I'm on my side, I've got this IT architecture, and on the other side is the other architecture. Is there a stepwise, you can say a guide which companies can follow? Because everybody tries to explore new different things just to see if this is going to work out. However, you know, there should be some tried and tested best practices. And forget about BPM for once. Anytime you do integration, there has to be a set step of, steps to be followed for you to be able to get there. What do you do in terms of BPM?
Right. Well, there are all sorts of practices. You know, pick the one that works for you. So it is often the case that smaller companies will spend a disproportionate amount of time focusing on their suppliers, which again is kind of a cost containment focus, instead of looking at their customers. So practices that focus on demand forecasting are actually a better place to put the company's attention. In that case, getting to know your customers and using standard customer relationship management practices can help you in not only in cost containment, but also in getting that very valuable revenue opportunities. So start talking with your largest customers about the ways in which you are meeting their demands, about move from maybe a six-month or annual planning process as close as you can get to real time, and make sure that you make use of that information when you get it.
So let's look at the human side of it. One area of BPM, in fact, BPM to some extent says that what eventually after implementation, what a human being or a manager used to do to some extent, like a process management person, is being replaced by a system. Now, while it is great and that's what is helping the automation and that's what's helping the cost containment, however, where is the learning? Because as a human being, a person who is taking on a process and executing that process on a day-to-day basis, as they learn new things, they keep on putting a positive, basically a feedback into it and make it better and more efficient. What has BPM got to offer here?
The BPM implementations that are most successful are actually borrowing from a technical concept that we object-oriented programmers used to talk about forever, and that was this notion of a collection of loosely coupled services. So if you have, I will contrast this with some kind of monolithic script that you have that dictates how you deal with a partner. If you've got one of those things, then you're going to fall into what is commonly called the collaboration trap. And that means that your behaviors are so closely dictated that you actually become less responsive to changes in your environment once you started collaborating than you were before you started collaborating, which is horrible and counterintuitive. But the collaboration trap happens because you've got this monolithic system that is impervious, as you say, to learning or to change. Instead, try to build your collaboration as this loosely coupled set of services that perform a task or a piece of the process and are able to be interchanged and replaced as your business grows. And I've got an example of that. So there's Colgate that launched a vendor-managed inventory project with, I think, 40 of their distribution centers. They were connecting with hundreds of stores, from Walmart supercenters to tiny mom-and-pop shops. They thought that their problem was going to be technology, but it turned out that their problem was the agility required to cope with growth and learning. Their mom-and-pop shops that they were communicating with had no IT infrastructure, and in the beginning were on a really steep learning curve to just provide the information that Colgate needs. So what they did was they had services in their process that said, okay, this service is going to be manual and labor intensive until this partner gets mature, and then I'm going to plug out and plug in a more automated rules-based processing once that partner learns how to reliably give me the information I need and knows how to collaborate with me. So it's a learning process, and you need technology support that lets you learn.
That's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's talk about the best practices. While we discussed a little bit in terms of the steps that could be used, however, when we are looking at best practices, we are talking more about business processes for an individual company in the value chain. And when you are trying to integrate with them, to some extent, we also have, as a company, also have to understand what our neighbors do, and to quite at an in-depth level for us to be able to really integrate in a most efficient manner. Now, how do we do it? Is that at all possible? Is it any counterproductive? Because people might be averse to not letting you know what exactly do they do and their cost structures and everything. So how does this all pan out? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk more.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Politics and business go hand in hand. To find out how, tune into the Tammy Says Show every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. The Tammy Says Show will feature informative and influential guests involved in the political world, as well as some of today's top business leaders. So tune in every Monday and get your questions answered as she cuts to the chase in the issues that affect your bottom line. That's the Tammy Says Show every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk Radio, businessamerica.com.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, businessamericaradio.com.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship, a kindly friend will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend is wrong, dead wrong, because the fact is many fish are declining in number, and unlike other things, there's actually something you can do about it. Simply log on to GetGreen.com to learn how making the right seafood choices can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. It's easy to do. And now that you're single and lonely, you got the time. That's GetGreen.com, a message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is BPM Connecting Enterprises. Our guest for today's show is Gene Baker. Gene is the Vice President, Technology for Sterling Commerce, a subsidiary of SBC Communications, and a global provider of business integration solutions. Before the break, we started talking about the level of intrusion, if you will, our neighbors would allow in case we try to understand the business processes and enough for us to be able to go and integrate well with them. So this is, a legit problem that we would face or anybody would face when we were to try to learn about their business and they would not want to disclose some of the things there. So how difficult does it become and is there a workaround?
Good. There's usually about six steps that people are advised to follow as kind of a best practice to get started because, as you're saying, that level of trust needs to be built and there are going to be barriers to that no matter who you're collaborating with the first time that you initiate it. So the six things to keep in mind would be, one, start small, so right-size that pilot so that you're not biting off more than you can chew, and when you encounter those trust barriers, then you can have time within the context of your project to overcome them. Second is make sure that you've looked inward and broken down your own internal silos so that you can collaborate inside your four walls before attempting to collaborate outside. The third is, don't forget the value of really meeting in person, gathering the partners that are participating in this pilot around in a physical space, feed them alcohol, do whatever you need to do, maybe good roast beef sandwiches, whatever will get them relaxed, and make sure that they understand that you're listening to their objections and concerns and that, you want to make this project succeed for them as well as you. That leads us to the fourth point, which is the win-win. You can't be all about what you're going to benefit from. You have to make sure that you are optimizing for the entire landscape, making sure everybody has a piece of the win. Fifth would be don't give away the store. So your own proprietary information, you first need to identify so that you don't accidentally give away the store, and then make sure that you can successfully collaborate while leaving the right proprietary things proprietary. And then finally, unilateral sharing, basically just go and do it, works wonders. If you are talking with tentative partners, the fact that they can observe you sharing information really encourages them to start doing it as well in a fashion that's just extraordinary to see.
Now, when you mentioned about, bringing them together and everything is going well and hunky-dory, you provided steps in terms of, how can you take to the next level. What happens if these people are going through a mergers and acquisitions situation, that once you are spending the time to build a relationship and you've done your pilot and, suddenly things change, and that could be a mergers and acquisitions, or a flavor could be is that you got, say, five suppliers. Now, you don't want to dictate your terms because you want to be nice to them. They have their own technology infrastructure, and they might even be carrying out their business in five different ways. So how can you eat the cake and have it too, where you collaborate with all of them as effectively, if you were to compare five different suppliers, you're talking to all of them equally well and still be able to remain sane? How do you deal with this?
Right, and we'll get back to that principle of having a modular collection of little process pieces, as opposed to, again, this monolithic thou shalt do things in this way. If you can acquire infrastructure or technology that promotes multi-enterprise collaboration in a very agile way, then there's this commonality that transcends change. So yes, you always will be dealing with partners that will have their own internal issues. They've recently acquired companies. Their market has disappeared out from under them. They are always in flux. So what are the universal truths that transcend those changes? You build that into your infrastructure, and then for the rest of it, you have pieces that can pop in and pop out, plug and play notion of ways in which you do processes. So for some partners, a way that you're handling demand forecasting together is very manual. You're sitting down and talking. With some partners, it's automated over a portal that you're displaying to them, or you're logging into their portal. But between those two things are the same customer relationship management principles. You need to identify the ones that are most profitable to you and try to make sure that, transcending the technology and the protocols and everything, that you're keeping to those core principles. It's definitely easier said than done, but it can work.
So you are basically saying that we are working with them while we will embrace their respective business processes and try to integrate with them. You would want to still keep them as modular, you would not have redundancy in that case.
You will. You'll have some kind of redundancy. Usually, your 20% of your most trusted relationships, you have a lot of flexibility in dealing with those. And then in the 80% of your relationships, you have more of a structured, this is how you interact with me kind of process. But even if you are treating, the Walmart in your chain slightly differently than the mom and pop shop, it's okay, because the benefit that you're getting from those bigger relationships is outweighing the cost that you're paying for a bit of redundancy. And certainly articulating things is a way to keep your house in order as well. So you know, two business processes that have some level of redundancy but are both well articulated are certainly more valuable to a company than two business processes that are not articulated, where you can't even measure the degree of redundancy and you can't cope with change.
So what is the different forms of communication that you have among your value chain members? I mean, would they be able to spare enough time on an ongoing basis to keep on working on a moving target? So something got changed at your end, you call them, and something gets changed at their end, they call you. So this could be a continuous battle of trying to figure out what do we do next in terms of this choreography.
Right. A new technology is emerging called a business process network, which is actually a place and kind of a replacement for that strange e-marketplace stuff that happened around turn of the millennium. This business process network is a public exchange where you can join and either a push or a pull scenario, provide information and get information from partners in your chain. BPMs are really good for small organizations because all of the IT is actually placed on the business process network. So if you don't have a lot of investment in IT inside your house, you can just join the BPM and use their technology. And it tends to be good for larger companies because a BPN done right can actually onboard the whole constellation of partners for a large enterprise, which actually helps because it's that last 10% of small partners that really eats up most of your partner management costs if you're not standardizing the way that you deal with them.
Now, one thing which crops up from this is then in a way we will be carrying two modes of carrying out our business. One is like a hosted model, which is more to deal with external entities, and then an internal set of systems, which would be used for our internal work. Right?
Yeah, that's where process comes in, because you're absolutely right. The technology in most companies will be both of those. They will have a hosted solution that they use to standardize the bottom 80% of their partnerships, and then they'll have that in-house deployed model that can handle their most trusted partner relationships or their largest or most profitable ones. So what you need to do is you need to find a way in which the processes that you're executing are either the same or as similar as you can get between the two technology models. So, you know, as a vendor, I can tell you that you need to pick a technology vendor that will provide you both a hosted solution and a behind your four walls solution that operate the same. Putting on my BPMI hat on for a moment and speaking at the industry at large, I can say with confidence that there are vendors that provide that kind of solution, and you get to be a demanding shopper and insist on them.
So in this case, when we talk about BPM already see put in place, and you've got this portal and you've got the internal set of systems, so eventually BPM is successful. You know, that's utopia. And now people who are involved in dealing with this on a day-to-day basis, how do you see their life changing? How do you see their day-to-day work changing?
I believe that you can actually stop having all of these conversations about where's my purchase order and start having the real profitable business discussions that you need to have to make your company more profitable and grow faster. And that's good news for everyone.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and let's talk a little bit more about this person's role. One thing is that it has changed, but then what is the evolution of this person's role? That means, what is a person's typical day look like when they are talking about, yes, I am a BPM supervisor or I am a BPM-related person, somebody who's handling this whole BPM process on a continuous or a day-to-day basis. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and talk more.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today.
Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Hi. Hello, hell. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is BPM, Connecting Enterprises. Our guest for today's show is Gene Baker. Gene is the Vice President of Technology for Sterling Commerce, Inc., a subsidiary of SBC Communications, and a global provider of business integration solutions. We were talking about, before the break, the life of a BPM person, somebody who is taking care of a day-to-day BPM-related initiative, and what's a typical day look like in the life of this person, and what do they do themselves, as well as how do they and what form do they interact with the other neighbor's BPM person?
Yeah, I think I may take an opportunity here to talk about the benefit of process standards at an executable process standards, which is something that BPMI has been promoting for years. So I'll use your question with that bent. It used to be, and still is in many companies, where that business analyst would have a fairly frustrating life. He would try to diagram the processes that he wanted to be executed. He'd try to write his requirements for information technology. He would then fling those diagrams over the IT wall to some designer and programmer who would look at it, turn it on its head, try to figure out what these hieroglyphics mean, and then implement a system that was pretty technology-focused and may or may not reflect at all the needs of the business. And this flinging back and forth across the gap between these two individuals, which is often called the requirements gap, would actually lengthen IT cycles, decrease the value of the results. So what organizations like BPMI and OASIS have done is they've created these business process execution standards, which is a way of defining the business process from the business analyst's perspective, so defining it in a business-like way, but that definition actually becomes the executable process. So there are graphical tools that the business analyst can use to draw his process, but meanwhile, the tools are creating XML-based representations of the process that are fully executable from IT perspective. So what you've got there is an elimination of that requirements gap, because as the business analyst is drawing, he is creating the executable process. That's really why these tools are so important. What we had before them were workflow management tools that would simply create a diagram, and the diagram could be annotated and very elaborate, but it wasn't executable. When BPMI was formed, it was formed to focus on the invention of these business process execution standards, and through the work with OASIS and other standards bodies, I think we're really seeing the first steps at getting a widely adopted business process that can be used to eliminate that gap between the business guy and the IT guy, and also eliminate the gap between my definition of a process and my partner's definition of a process.
So do you see this individual also having a boss? Like, you know, is there a hierarchy in place for it to be effective? I'm just trying to go the human resource angle now.
Sure. The business analysts can sometimes report up through IT, and I think that that's actually not a safe place for them, because they can become then more internally technology focused and less well connected with the business goals of the enterprise. So when they work best, I think they are actually in the business units. The F&A department certainly could benefit from having BPM analysts who understand the financial and business goals of the company and translate that into the projects that need to work. Marketing certainly benefits from business analysts. Anything that is really focusing on the business goals of the enterprise and can articulate them can benefit in the execution phase.
Now, let's look at the gotchas, because, you know, there's every time there's a dark side to whatever we try to do, and that thing is usually not discussed. But let's look at the dark side of process choreography. That means what is still there, what are the gotchas, and which has not been tackled, and something which cannot be tackled.
Right. My counterexample that I use a lot are the e-marketplaces of the year 2000. These were consortiums that experienced explosive growth in the year 2000 and were dead as a doornail within a year in 2001. And where they failed was they were promoting business process choreography, definitely, but through completely anonymous partners in short-term relationships, where the only differentiation that would form a partnership would be price. So the idea was that you would optimize on the price of every single transaction and therefore save money in the long run. I am delighted to be able to report that studies reveal that common sense prevails in this case, and in fact, the way that companies save the most money is not by optimizing on price on every single transaction, but in fact by establishing long-term, lasting partner relationships that can, in which performance is reliable and in which there is trust. So it's very cool when intuition wins out. The new exchanges, consortia like Transora, WWRE, GNX, and also these business process networks that I was talking about earlier, have learned from the e-marketplace, and they, in fact, are promoting known relationships with trusted partners and long-term business processes instead of these, you know, single transactions optimized on price. So that gotcha, which basically is the common sense, you know, go for trusted relationships rather than anonymous, you know, back alley, want to buy a watch kind of interactions, is good. There's another gotcha that isn't so hard to overcome that's called the customer paradox. I like this one, and we see it all the time. It is, when you provide a customer with everything they desire, they will desire more. And, you know, so you can't really stop customers from desiring more other than providing them bad service, in which case that's definitely not an answer to the customer paradox. Where I usually make my recommendation is actually back on the whole modular infrastructure and this service-oriented architecture kind of talk, which says that don't build your processes so script-like that they can't account for changes in demand. Instead, build your processes as a collection of services so that when new demands come up, you can add more services to that infrastructure. It doesn't break the infrastructure, and it still follows that general principle of process.
Now, do you think, for the most part, are we at a point now where we have kind of nailed this BPM thing down and it's a matter of just, you know, evolution where you just keep on tweaking it as need goes by, or there's some more major efforts still to be taken on?
That would be delightful if the former were true, but no, I think that we are on the very early stages of this process revolution. I think that it's actually funny to talk about BPM as this brand new thing because, of course, you know, it's been around for a very long time, but it has transitioned in its focus from being all about business process reengineering, which tended to be a very time-consuming, top-down, monolithic effort, to this notion of business process collaboration, which is definitely more of an incremental bottom-up approach. We do not, you know, are we done? Of course we're not, because Walmart and Dell wouldn't look as godlike to all of us if we actually got their secret and we were starting to do business process collaboration like they do. But we are at a very exciting and fun stage of the beginning, because we've got technology. We've got systems that can build a multi-enterprise collaboration kind of services architecture that can help companies interact. We've got business process networks, and we've got the practices themselves and the open standards. What we have to do is bake a good pie out of all those ingredients, and that's where we're at right now.
So do you think, if you were to outline some lessons learned so far from success stories and fiascos, would you be able to share those with the listeners?
Sure. I mean, the primary lesson learned is start small and grow from your success, so don't bite off more than you can chew. Make sure that you never forget that you're dealing with human beings, and so treat them sensitively in accordance to that. And definitely look out beyond your four walls, because now is an era where tremendous growth is possible, where most companies are moving their focus from internal cost containment out to growth opportunities, and join that party because it's a lot of fun.
Great. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Gene, for sharing your insights about connecting enterprises through business process management.
Thank you. It's just been delightful to be here.
Thanks again. While we have in this ambitious goal to connect enterprises seamlessly, let's see, isolated effort to define processes and their corresponding automation strategy may be a futile effort. We definitely have to come together and do things together. In today's world, optimizing the external interfaces is becoming equally important as it is to take care of your internal systems and processes, and it actually requires active collaboration between the value chain neighbors. And let's not over-collaborate, because as per Gene, it becomes counterproductive. While we talk about open systems, we should start looking at open enterprises, where we are using actually a white box approach to process definition and optimization, and work together for mutual benefit. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.